Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Our guest is Nicole Willett. She's also known as Peaceful Nick the Medium. Nicole combines her scientific background with her spiritual gifts to offer a unique approach to mediumship. With a BS in biology and an MS in astronomy, she has over 20 years of experience in science education and communication, and she's a respected member of the Mars Society. Nicole blends her analytic mind with her intuitive abilities to provide clear, authentic messages from loved ones who have passed. Welcome to the show. Do you prefer for me to call you Nick or Nicole?
Either one. Okay. Whatever is comfortable for you. And I am so grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you. You know, when you sent me your bio, and I love people who study both like spirituality and science and blend the two, because you don't always see that everywhere. I usually like to ask people, how did this all start? But in your case, I wonder, did you love science first?
I loved science first.
Yeah.
But I also, my mom was into the woo-woo. So
I also,
but she passed almost 40 years ago. So she passed when I was young. And so I don't know what would have happened had she survived and gone on. Who knows? She could have been a psychic. I don't know. Yeah. But she was into aliens and UFOs and paranormal things and read a lot of books about it. And I just had this propensity for science and math and followed that track until later.
So what in science did you, were you really focusing on? What did you love about it? Or like what area was your interest?
Astronomy is my love and my heart, and everything about it is just makes me, you know, when you're in love with something,
yes,
it's just, you can't ever stop thinking about it ever. And I was like that for years and years and years until I became a medium. And that has gone from 50-50 to like 90 mediumship, 10 science now, but I still love them both very much.
So, okay, you were studying astronomy. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge, I love astronomy as well, very much so. Your mom was woo-woo, mm-hmm. and it sounds like a very cool upbringing, having somebody whose mind was very open, right?
Yes.
That's fun.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So how did the mediumship come within the mix here?
Well, I was just going along with my science life. I was teaching science in college and in high school, and I laid down to take a nap one day after getting a phone call that someone who I had seen one time as an infant, 25 years before this, was a friend's son, and I had moved across the country, so I had never seen him since he was newborn. And when I got the call that he passed, in my head, I knew claircognizantly, which is clear knowing, but I didn't know that at the time, that it was a drug overdose. I just knew it as soon as I heard the news. And I didn't say anything to the person on the phone. And I just later that day went and took a nap, or tried to take a nap. I laid down for a few seconds. Now, I had no idea what was happening. This just all surprised me. I laid down to take a nap. And in my head, full color, like a movie, his face, his red sweater, his gold chain, his black hair, leaned in forward to me in my mind's eye, clairvoyantly and clairaudiently, and said, "Tell my mom I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it." And it was like 10 seconds after I laid down, and I sat up and I'm like, whoa. And it was overwhelming and striking and shocking. Like nothing like that had ever happened to me before. I'd had weird little things here and there, but nothing like this. This was very dramatic and very clear. So come to find out a couple of days later, he had passed from an accidental drug overdose. I communicated with his mother, who has given me permission to share the story. After I got trained, I have given her a couple of readings. And she showed me the picture with his red sweater and gold chain later. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And it changed. And I blew that one off. And I was like, okay, that was really cool. It was amazing. And then I just went on with my life. And a few months later, something very similar happened. A very close friend of the family named Dottie was perfectly healthy, older woman, hit her head, had a head injury, and was in hospice care. And the day she passed, my son was with her in her home in hospice care. I kept seeing this red heart in my head and I couldn't stop seeing it. And it had her name on it over and over. And it was just like in my head a million times. And I texted him. I said, hey, I feel like Dottie keeps sending me this red heart with her name on it. I don't know what it means. And I can't get it out of my head no matter what I do. And he immediately sent me a text of a red keychain with her name on it that he had just picked up after her passing off her nightstand.
Oh my gosh.
And my knees, I was in the kitchen. I'll never forget. I had to hold on to the stove to keep from falling down because I couldn't believe it. Like, what is happening to my brain? How do you explain that?
Yeah.
I have a scientific background. This doesn't make sense.
Right.
But I had the wherewithal to understand there's more than scientists will ever admit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, there's something to this. I'm going to do an experiment on myself.
Okay.
So I scoured the internet. I found a teacher and a mentor, and I started taking classes, and I was doubling up on the classes. And I was really, really testing myself to see if this was something I could do. And after many, many classes and hundreds of readings, I'm like, wow, I'm a medium. Like, this is happening.
Yeah.
And I've been a professional medium for 5 years, or approximately 5 years.
So what were some of your, I mean, coming from the science background and those initial experiences, well, I guess, okay, if you're looking back, why do you think this is happening? Why do you think this kind of came out of the blue in your life?
I was working, I was raising my kids with my husband and I. I had two jobs all the time. I was a very busy mom. My boys, as they got older, were involved in a lot of, you know, athletics and going from here to this game to that game. And my husband was a coach and still is. And, you know, just a very busy life. And trying to, you know, make ends meet. And I was a teacher, so you know how that goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, just so busy that I don't think my brain had the capacity to allow it to come through. And it didn't happen until my kids were adults. Once my kids were adults, I had a little more time. I think this is a theory. I have no idea if this is why. I just had more brain space to take it all in. When I couldn't have done it when my kids were 10, 12, 14. There's no way I would have been able to connect in the way I can now.
When you were, like, before you started having these experiences, did you ever have like any, like, kind of like one-off dreams, you know, about previous loved ones that had passed or other people you'd known? Maybe had they ever come into your dreams and you just kind of like wrote it off as if it was nothing?
Yes, because my mother had passed so long ago, I had had visitation dreams from her, but I didn't know that's what it was.
Mm.
Because I had no experience with mediumship, except for stuff you see on TV, but I didn't know the ins and outs of it. But yes, my mother had visited me. My brother-in-law also passed before, we were close, before I became a medium, and he had come in dreams. But I didn't know at the time that they were visitations. I also had some precognitive dreams before, years ago, but I didn't realize, you know, I used to always joke, I'm psychic, but I didn't really know.
Yeah.
I just would kind of joke about it, but I didn't really know. I didn't really 100% believe it.
Right. So you've been taking, like you said, you've been doing this for 5 years, you've taken your classes. How does your family, really your husband, what was he thinking when you first started doing this? Because again, science, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, I talk to the dead.
It's interesting because he is probably one of the most skeptical people in the world. And I was like, is he gonna think I'm crazy? Is he gonna believe me? And I was just like, look, this is happening. And he has never doubted me or questioned me one time. Because I think he saw some of the psychic things I did before that I didn't realize. So I think he kind of knew there was something going on. And when the mediumship kicked in, he was just like, I believe her, I trust her. She's doing her due diligence to make sure that this is being done properly and ethically.
Right.
And so he's been one of my biggest support systems.
I mean, I think that is fantastic because I'm sure you know people or heard stories of people where all of a sudden they have these unexpected, let's just say unexpected gifts, right? And then they have to come to terms with it themselves, but their spouse or whomever, their family, or they just are not about that and they will not support them.
I've had students, because I teach mediumship as well, and I've had students who, after the class was, the 6 month mentorship, and then another 6 month mentorship, and then they're like, yeah, I'm not going to do this anymore because of their spouse. And it makes me a little sad, but that's their journey, and they have to do what's best for their life. And you can't push people into mediumship if it's going to affect their marriage. So you kind of have to be understanding.
What were your beliefs about death before this?
I love that question because I had death panic attacks up into my late 40s, where I would wake up from a dead sleep at night screaming 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh my goodness.
I must have had a horrible passing in a past life. That's the only explanation. I had this for decades, this problem. I would just wake up. Sometimes I'd yell. Sometimes I'd grab my husband's leg while he was asleep because I'd startle myself out of sleep because the panic attack would set in. And I've gone through phases in my life where I teetered on atheism, and I grew up born and raised Catholic, worked in Catholic schools for decades. So I've gone back and forth between belief systems throughout my life. I think most people have a journey with that. I was not doubting that there was an afterlife. I had a fear that there was no afterlife. That may not make sense, but my fear was, when I die, nothing will happen. That was my fear. I wasn't afraid of physical pain or an illness. My fear was, how can my consciousness just stop? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, how, and with my science background, I would go through this whole spiral. Well, if nothing can, if you can't destroy energy, nothing can be created or destroyed, it just is transformed from one state to another. Then our consciousness is energy, so that can't die. And I would just go through this whole thing in my head over and over. But when I started doing mediumship, I've not had a single panic attack since then. And I didn't even notice it. I didn't even notice that happened for probably 6 months after I started my mediumship that I wasn't having the panic attacks anymore.
So when you were taking your classes and practicing and giving readings, what have you learned from the other side that has changed your mind, I guess, about what or what is on, let's call it the other side, or what's still, coexisting with us? Like, what have you learned from those who have gone?
Oh, wow. I could talk for hours just about that subject alone. It has changed everything I believe about the afterlife and how, in religions, they tell you there's a hell, and if you're bad, you're going to go to hell. Now, I never really believed that. It didn't make sense to me, even though I went to church and did all the churchy things. I never really believed that. there was a lot of things that never sat with me that made sense through, my religious journey. And I know now there is no hell. There is one place, the spirit world. Different things may happen when you get there, but it's not fire, brimstone, and punishment. I've learned that people who die by suicide don't go to hell, which I knew that intuitively, but religions teach that, some of them.
Yes, they do.
Because why would God punish someone who's already suffering?
Right.
And I've learned that your soul is non-local to your body. So your body is just a meat suit. My sister calls it a meat suit. And your soul is an energy sphere or orb, whatever shape, doesn't matter what kind of shape you think it is an energy that inhabits your body while you're alive. But it can come and go. That's why people do astral traveling and, have near-death experiences where they go into the light, because the soul can kind of come and go whenever it feels like it, really, honestly. And so I didn't realize that before. I was a medium. And people with neurological issues, dementia, in a coma, any kind of brain injury, their soul can communicate with spirit. People with dementia often see loved ones who passed many years ago. So they're kind of going back and forth between the realms. I didn't know that for sure until I was a medium, when I was giving a reading to a person whose mother has dementia, but I was communicating with her, but she's alive. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is solidifying that for me. I have learned about the soul's compassion and unconditional love for everyone. And if you are a person who has a lot of emotional issues or mental health issues, or maybe a person who was toxic in this human life, your soul isn't toxic. The human was toxic. The human was damaged. The soul is pure unconditional love. But the human is the one that made the choices. So your human mind and your soul kind of live together, and they don't always match up. It's like if you have a Lego and then a generic Lego, a Mega Block, they don't always stick together. Because I had boys, so I had a lot of Legos. So that's the example I give. Sometimes they don't really match up, and that causes all kinds of human problems.
Definitely. So, from those that you've spoken to who have like left this world, what have you, I guess, seen in terms of possibilities on the other side? Like, I know it's hard maybe to say, oh, there's a crystal palace over here and there's, waterfalls everywhere, but what have you seen? What are spirits doing, I guess?
I really don't allow myself to go into the spirit world unless I'm meditating. When I do my meditation, I always go out in space. That's where I go. I don't go, when I'm connecting with spirit, I invite them into my awareness, and I'm not asking them about what the spirit world looks like. So I have never seen a crystal palace or any waterfalls like that. Like, that's not my experience. I've never even thought to try it. So thank you for bringing it up. Maybe I'll do a meditation on that. I just never thought about that. But there's a hierarchy, but it's not like we think it's not like how we have a human hierarchy. There are soul families, the primary, the secondary, the tertiary, where the closest people you are incarnated with is in your primary soul family, and you will incarnate with them over and over. And if, maybe you and your mom were sisters in a previous life, or maybe you were her mom in a previous life, something like that. Because we're here to learn lessons and grow our soul. So I think Rumi, maybe it wasn't Rumi, one of the famous poets said, life is suffering, and which is kind of true. we humans suffer a lot, right? I don't know a person that doesn't have suffering. And through that suffering, how does our soul grow? How do we put our ego aside and become more loving unconditionally to everyone, not be mean? Because underneath, somebody who's hateful is just somebody who's begging for love. And you either turn your pain into hate or you turn your pain into healing. You're going to heal yourself and then by either purposefully or, adjacently heal others just by being kind and loving. But then other people just go to the hateful realm and they're just crying for love. They need love. And so I think we need a lot of healing in this world now more than ever. And I don't remember what your question was.
Oh no, it's completely okay because as you're talking, I'm thinking, okay, there are, and these are obviously human concerns, and a lot of these concerns are due to religious upbringing. People worry about their loved ones, like where are they going when they pass? Like you said, if somebody is really hateful in this life, where are they going? If somebody was very, I don't know, compassionate, and deeply helpful, where are they going? Like, because we do have, at least in this, I would say on this side of the world for sure, this deep-seated belief in many religions and the popular religion, you have to do these things, follow these commandments, follow these rules, and that's the only way, through Jesus is life, and that is it. So if you don't do that, the only option for you is to go and burn for eternity until whatever happens next. So,
And they want us to write them a check because
yes.
that's the whole point. If you come to our church, we're going to save you, but you have to
Yes.
write us a check.
Yes.
And that's why they don't like healers, spiritualists, and Reiki healers, mediums, psychics, because legitimate ones.
Right.
Because they're not all
That needs to
legitimate.
be said.
Because there's even Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you, right? We all have the kingdom of heaven within us and we can all find it. Oh, you were asking about how, the hierarchy or something in
Yes.
spirit. So what happens to people who are bad, quote unquote,
Yeah.
is they have to greet their guides and be kind of reoriented and retaught. And, they're not just going to go to general population of all the happy people. They're going to be in their own little group of people whose conscious awareness is at that level. It's like putting a bunch of 3-year-olds in pre-K together, right?
Right.
The level of your emotional maturity, your soul's maturity, those are going to group together and they're going to have to learn together. The more emotionally mature the soul is, you're going to be in a group with more emotionally mature. And then you might incarnate with one of these guys over here because you got to learn lessons. So
I
it's a
see.
different hierarchy, but it is a hierarchy.
So when you have spoken to other spirits, have they ever talked about once they've quote unquote like crossed over who they have seen? Is it just guides? Is it angels? Is it family members? Like, what do you usually hear?
So, one of the most shocking things that I ever heard, and I'm still friends with this client to this day. We actually texted earlier today. The first year I was a professional medium, I was giving a reading to a grandmother. I didn't know she was a grandmother when she came on screen. And I saw immediately an infant that was premature with discolored skin from her premature birth. And it was her granddaughter who was born preterm and passed away. And her name was Hazel. And of course, she only lived, a few hours. So they didn't get to know her personality or anything, but she came through very strong. And she said to me, and I didn't know what this was. I had to look it up afterwards and I had to call my mentor afterwards because I had never heard of this. She said, "I'm on the council." And I didn't know what that was. And I thought, well, that sounds fancy. Like, what does that mean? And I told the client, and I said, Hazel is telling me, and I have permission from the client to share this information. Hazel is telling me she's on the council. And I said, full disclaimer, I'm not sure what that is, but as soon as this call's over, I will find out and I will let you know. So apparently the council is, and there's more than one, is the group of souls you kind of go in front of to help you decide what your next incarnation will be. And it's a pretty, I guess on Earth we would call it a powerful group because they're helping you decide and guide you. And I thought it was incredible. And to make that even more incredible, so that was about 4 years ago or so, I gave her the grandmother a reading about a month ago. And I said, you know, when I see Hazel now, she's not a baby. She's grown now. And she goes, I see her that way too. I said, wait, don't tell me anything else. I'm going to write it down on my pad. And I want you to write it down what she's wearing. And I wrote down blue robe, light blue robe. And I said, okay, what do you see her dressed in? And she said, a light blue robe. And I held up my, and I couldn't believe it. I almost fell out of my chair. Like, that is validation on validation on validation that this spiritual being is communicating with me and her grandmother and showing us the exact same thing. Her, so it validated to me that I'm not making it up, that she's actually appearing to me in this way, and she's also appearing to her grandmother in the same way. Now, I don't know if anyone else who's a medium has ever experienced that. If please email me if you have, because I want to talk about it. But those are some of the incredible things I experience that I just, there's no other explanation for that other than we're getting information from our loved ones in spirit.
Definitely. Have you found that we incarnate into Earth at certain times for a reason, like this, I don't know, for these hundreds of years, because something is going to happen on the planet. We're coming directly at this time, as opposed to, I don't know, the past or the future. Do you find that people choose specific times on the planet to come for whatever reasons?
The lore is, and I've read books about this and spoken to my mediumship colleagues about this as well, is we incarnate for all those reasons. All those reasons. And I spoke to my oldest son, who's a history expert, because I was very worried about the state of the world recently. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just so upset about all of this stuff. And he said, Mom, this has been humanity all along. It's over and over and over if you look back through history. And he gave me a bunch of examples. And I'm like, wow, humans are the worst. So I think that we are incarnating into this repetitive cycle. Again, in order to grow our soul, we are here to meet these challenges, to grow our soul, to try to get rid of the ego. Now, I don't know how good of a job we're doing
Yeah, I agree.
overall, but I think in reality, it's a small group of people who are making all the trouble. And I think most humans have loving, kind hearts and don't want all that trouble in the world. I think it's just a small group of egos, essentially.
I think people do wonder, like, why am I here at this time? Because, and again, I can only speak to what's happening in the United States, but it does look like, and your son is right. If you look historically, there are cycles where things are happening that lead to I mean, for lack of a better word, I'm just going to say fascism because it does look very authoritarian, like on the edge of that or teetering towards that. And you see this happen through time over and over and over again. And here we are on the precipice of what could potentially be monumental change, for a country of people who are used to certain freedoms, right? I wonder, like, huh? I even asked my friend, why did I come to this time? Surely I was smarter than that.
Well, I agree completely with everything you said, and you can cut this part out if you want, but it's men's egos. They're fighting for this little piece of land for a temporary few years because their life is only that short. Carl Sagan has a wonderful, there's plenty of videos, but he talked about the pale blue dot, Earth from a distance of, I believe, Saturn, and it looks like a pale blue dot. And he said everyone should listen to this. It's called Pale Blue Dot, Carl Sagan. Everyone you've ever known, everyone you've ever loved, every king, every servant, every person, he goes through the whole list of all the different kinds of people. Some people are fighting for this little piece of land on this pale blue dot that literally looks like a grain of sand in this picture, just from one of our nearest planetary neighbors. So it puts it in perspective. Why is everybody fighting over this little thing, right? Why don't we just work together? And I know that might sound idealistic, but the ego is really destroying whatever's being destroyed is being destroyed by people's egos.
Yes, definitely. And I was thinking about those two astronauts who have been stuck in space forever, who only went up
They
there
just came
for
home
like,
a couple days
yes.
ago.
Yes, they did. I had already just ruled it out. I figured they were never going to come back. And if I was stuck up there, I would have just opened the hatch and just been like, adios, y'all. And then in a few seconds, that's too long.
I would have
But
gone crazy.
yes, me too. But even from their perspective, I'm like, you're so disconnected from all the chaos and the madness and just the anxiety of the world and of the everyday, it has to give you such a different lease on life. It is wild to think we're on this rock traveling through space, and everybody is fighting for just garbage. It's ridiculous.
When if we just work together as a community and embraced our diversity and all of the cultures, we may realize, oh, everyone can be happy to a certain degree, right?
Exactly.
We don't have to fight. We don't have to be hateful. We can love each other. It's not that hard. It's
Exactly.
not that hard.
So, okay, with the when you're reaching out to the other side to, to give readings and connect to people's loved ones, do you work with the spiritual team to be able to do this?
So I have a main spirit guide that I communicate with semi-regularly. It used to be pretty much daily, but semi-regularly. His name is George. But when I do my readings, I always do a meditation for at least 10 minutes before every reading, where it's called sitting in the power for mediums. You probably are familiar with the terms. And I say, dear God, guides, angels, saints, all loved ones in spirit, please allow me to bring forward evidence in this reading for so and so that their loved ones in spirit continue beyond this earthly realm. Please allow me to bring forward messages of hope, healing, peace, and love. And then I raise my conscious awareness and I kind of create this bubble of awareness over the top of my head and I invite them in. And then about a few seconds into the little talk I'm giving, they start coming in and showing me things. And I'll see flashes. Sometimes I'll see little video clips. The other day, it was during the reading, I saw a woman walking through her son who passed away's apartment, collecting things and putting them in a box to take home. So And I can hear things, see things, feel things. I have all the clairs. Taste and smell, I have the least, but I have all the other clairs. And they, some people think if you just use one clair at a time, but my clairs all overlap each other, which makes for a much more dynamic experience in mediumship because you're getting information from several different places.
So I'm curious. I mean, many people ask me this question, and I have my own answers, but I want to know, how did you meet your spirit guide? What was that experience like? And did you trust what you saw? Did you trust what you were told initially, or did you have reservations?
I was on this journey with such passion that I think when I met my spirit guide, I was hoping it was him. So I tested it and asked him to come forward, several times, which everyone should do. I was walked through a guided meditation to find my spirit guide, and boom, there he was right in front of my head. And he's been the same every time. I have a guide who stands behind me. She's for emergency purposes only. That's what she told me. She's only there for emergencies. And then I have another guide who kind of comes and goes named Infinity, who helps me with symbols and signs and numbers. And she only shows me half her face, and her bangs cover her face. And, it's very cool. But of course, as a scientist, and I'm always doing an experiment, I asked my guide to come forward several times over, a period of a couple of weeks to make sure that I wasn't just making it up in my head. And I was tasked in my mentorship classes to test my guide, and that's a whole other story. Which I was asked, ask your spirit guide for a sign. And I didn't believe in guides at the time. I thought it was crazy. And the sign I got was the sign I asked for was a snow globe. It was March. So this was about 6 years ago now. And I know snow globes aren't around in March. Like, why would they be? And lo and behold, I saw a snow globe on my social media. And I'm like, okay, I blew it off. The next day, I went to a golf shop with my husband. There was a snow globe on the counter, a golf snow globe. And then the next day was Monday. I went to work and I went into a part of the building I hadn't been in before. And I looked to the left, and a lady had worked there for 40 years, and she had a wall with rows and rows of hundreds of snow globes she had been collecting. She was the teacher for students with learning challenges. And so every student gave her a snow globe. I didn't know that. And because I was new to the school, and there are just rows and rows of this wall that was like 10 feet long of all these snow globes. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You're there. I get it. I believe you. I believe you're there.
So when you first met your guides, did you ask, why am I doing this? Like, this is out of the blue. Like, did I choose this beforehand? Like, why all of a sudden is this my new line of work?
I didn't ask that. I knew so, I was so sure the things that were happening after, a few events that I couldn't explain. I didn't ask why. I just wanted to keep being a medium. I just couldn't stop doing it. I just wanted to do mediumship. It just took over all of my thoughts in my mind all the time. I think about it constantly. Now, that being said, I have spirit boundaries. I don't just let spirits come in anytime. You can't let that happen or you'll wear yourself out. But I just love it. I love it so much. And it has changed my whole life, my outlook on life, how I feel about everyone and everything. It's just changed my perspective completely.
So, how would you personally, I know this word has a lot of baggage, but I'm going to ask anyway, how would you personally define God now that you do this type of work as opposed to how you defined it before?
Well, I struggled with defining God my whole life because I wasn't sure what God was. And when you're studying science for so long, you're around a lot of atheists.
Yes.
But I now define God as a collective consciousness. I just see everything, all of our souls are interconnected energetically. And I don't, there's no separation. And so I don't think of God as one being. I think it's a collection of all of the consciousness in the universe, not just us silly earthlings.
Do you ever have, I know this is an odd question, but I wonder, do you ever have interactions with spirits that don't look humanoid?
I've had that question many times, and I do not try to connect with them because I have such a strong background in astronomy that I'm afraid if I try to connect with a being from another planet, which 100% for sure they're there. There's no doubt about that. I'm afraid I will have a skewed vision because I have such a strong background and I know so much about astrobiology, which is a study of looking for aliens, is my specialty. That's why I have an astronomy and a biology degree. I'm afraid I will put stuff in my own head. So I purposefully don't try to connect with beings from other planets just because of my background. I probably could do it. I'm keeping myself from doing it for now.
For now, yes. You never know what the future holds, right?
Exactly.
What do you think some of the biggest misconceptions are about death?
That it's suffering. I don't think people suffer at their passing as much as their loved ones who are here think. I think it's a relief for many people, especially people who have prolonged illnesses or mental illnesses. I think it's a relief there. My brother-in-law suffered with 3 kidney transplants, multiple health issues from the day he was born. And when he got to the time of his passing, he's like, "I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting." And he was a Methodist minister, so he had a good relationship with God. But he just told us, he's like, I just can't do it anymore. I'm tired of fighting." And I feel like he was relieved at his passing.
Yeah, many people, do worry about, I mean, number one, people are afraid to die. There's so
Right.
much that is the unknown. And again, what we kind of talked about earlier, certain beliefs that you're indoctrinated into as you're growing up certainly cast a specific lens on what could potentially happen to you,
Right.
the hour of death. But I think, doing the work that you're doing, it certainly puts things into perspective, but also it takes that fear away, knowing that this is just an experience, not to minimize the suffering and all the horrible things that are going on right now, but it really is an experience.
And I've heard people describe their passing as people who have near-death experiences, as it was like walking from one room to another room, or it was like going to sleep and having a dream. It was just a matter-of-fact event, that it wasn't a big deal. It was simple, it was easy, it was painless. That's how I've heard people describe it. I've never had a near-death experience or anything like that myself, but I've heard many people describe it like that.
What about from spirits you've communicated with? Do they ever talk about, like, oh, when I crossed over, I saw Jesus or any other religious figure?
I have not personally ever had anyone say that in any of my readings.
That's very interesting.
I have had them talk about the religion they participated in. They'll show me a Christian cross, a rosary, a Jewish star. I've heard, they've talked about the religion they participated in, but I've never heard them say, none of my clients, loved ones, that they saw Jesus or God like that. Now, I've heard other people who aren't my clients talk about it, but I've never experienced that in my readings.
That's very interesting. I think, for some near-death stories that I've read, you kind of see this theme of, oh, it was Jesus was right there for me. And so I always wonder, even when I talk to my spirit guides, I'm like, who's gonna be there? And they're like, oh, don't worry, there's several of us will be there, like
Right, because we have guides we don't know we have, right? People have guides, but as soon as you cross over, you recognize their energy, just like you recognize grandma or Uncle Joe or whoever. You recognize their energy, even if it's people you never met in this life, someone who may have passed before you were born, you recognize their energy. And maybe sometimes people, Jesus, I believe, was a real person. Why he would just take the time to just greet any random person on any given day, it would be surprise me, but anything is possible, I guess.
Definitely. And I wonder, once you cross over the veil of forgetfulness that we kind of have while we're here, how quickly does that disappear? Do we just all of a sudden remember everything, or does it take time for I don't know if it's like an expansion in your consciousness or awareness, but how long does it take for you to remember, like, oh, that's right, that's why I was here, or I know what's going
Do
on.
you mean how long does it take the soul to remember why they had this life? Is that what you mean?
I guess not just that, but to remember, oh yeah, I am a spirit. Oh yeah, there is, we're all connected. I mean, I guess all the essential, I'll just put quotes around truths of all that is.
I don't think it takes long at all. I mean, I know there's no time in spirit, so if I had to put a time on it, maybe 30 minutes, I would say. But they don't experience time the way we do, so I don't think it takes long at all for them to remember that. I feel like they have an awareness of what happened in this life, and they can remember that pretty immediately. And that's based on the readings I've given to people who their loved ones passed very recently. But I don't know, I have a 3-month rule, but I can't control who's booking a reading and when. And sometimes it's like pretty quick after their loved one passed. And so they come in with all the current information. So I think they are pretty aware, in my experience, pretty quickly.
And I guess what is the biggest thing you've learned from having, done all these readings, spoken to all types of, people who crossed over, having all these interactions, even with your guys? Like, what's kind of like biggest thing that you have found that you've learned, but also that's been very meaningful for your life?
There's no resentment or anger from those in spirit for any transgression we may feel, like if we weren't there at the time of their passing, or if we didn't answer the call to help save them from making a bad decision. They have no bitterness or anger towards us. And that those who maybe weren't so nice to us in this life, their soul is not that person. And I think a lot of people have a hard time rectifying that because they think it's all one and it's really not. The soul is always pure. In my experience.
Well, Nick, it has been great talking with you. I feel like we could talk for a really long time. I'm so glad to have had you today, and this has been a great conversation. And if people want to find you, how can they find you?
PeacefulNickTheMedium.com. Nick is spelled Nik, or just Google Peaceful Nick the Medium, or you can email me at PeacefulNickTheMedium@gmail.com.
And do you have any promotions that are running in case somebody is like, oh, I want to take some classes, or, how can I work with her? Do you have anything going on right now?
Yes, I have an upcoming 6-month beginner mediumship mentorship that will start in April. I am expecting a grandbaby any second now, so I haven't set the date for that yet because grandbaby's imminent. I have my 30-minute and 45-minute readings, one-on-one readings. I do group readings. I have the spirit exchange with my colleague, medium Kathy Behrens, that starts April 10th. And you can have a la carte sessions for that, or you can book the full annual membership of 10 90-minute gallery sessions, and we will have guest speakers and guest mediums. And that is all on my website. And if you have any questions, you can email me.
Awesome, Nick. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you came, and it's really nice to meet you. And everybody, I hope you want to connect with her. It's been a very, really great, chat. And thank you so much. We're glad to have you here today.
I'm honored to be a guest on your show.
Thank you, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.